What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast. Bill Rossetti of Panthers Wire back with you guys. It is the first episode officially of the 2019 offseason. It is the day after Super Bowl 53, and the New England Patriots once again are the Super Bowl champions, defeating the Los Angeles Rams 13-3. To claim their sixth Super Bowl title. So I figure I'll give a little bit of my take, and then I think we'll continue on with the positional breakdowns that we kind of started the other day. We'll look at, I think we'll look at wide receiver and tight end this time around, but I definitely want to start with the Super Bowl because obviously everybody's talking about the Super Bowl. It definitely feels like a strange game. I mean, in a season where there was all this scoring, so much offense, you know, Patrick, you saw, what, two quarterbacks throw for 5,000 yards, Patrick Mahomes threw for 50 touchdowns, you had the four highest scoring teams in the NFL all make it to Championship Sunday. And then, obviously, the Patriots and Rams getting to the Super Bowl, so two of the top four. So we expected a lot of scoring, and wouldn't you know, it ends up being the lowest scoring Super Bowl ever. Just 16 combined points. The previous low was 21 combined points. That was when the Dolphins beat the Redskins 14-7 in Super Bowl VI, or Super Bowl VII, I think, one of the two. That, of course, was the year that the Dolphins completed the undefeated 17-0 season en route to the Super Bowl championship. But it's just really strange, the fact that we just watched the Los Angeles Rams team that was just so high-powered on offense again under Sean McVay, and they put up 3 points. Like, make it into the end zone. They didn't even make it into the red zone. Like, that's a baffling... That's probably one of the first takeaways and one of the biggest takeaways that I have from this game is the fact that the Rams never even reached the red zone at all in this game. And I think the Patriots only ran one play in the red zone, and nobody reached the red zone until, I think, the fourth quarter. It was just unbelievable. And look, I understand everybody saying, oh, it was a boring game, no scoring, blah, blah, blah. But here's the thing. How many times have we said over the years, defense wins championships? And that's exactly what you saw here. This was a defensive masterpiece from a defensive mastermind in Bill Belichick. And obviously credit Brian Flores as well, too, who actually calls the plays for the Patriots. And he certainly will be a big loss for the Patriots because, I mean, we all are aware now that Flores actually is probably in Miami as we speak. You know, I'm recording this around midday Monday, so probably even as we speak, and certainly as you guys are listening, or by the time you guys listen to this, Flores, I believe, should be in Miami to officially be introduced as the next head coach of the Miami Dolphins. The Rams, of course, as well, are losing an assistant coach as well. They are losing quarterback coach Zach Taylor. He is headed to Cincinnati to become head coach of the Bengals. And I wonder how many Bengals fans are worried now, since this is, you know, a what have you done for me lately league, and the last time we saw a Rams quarterback, he pooped the bed, to kind of make it a little PG here. But you got to give the Patriots credit. I mean, to just put up the defensive effort that they did against this Rams team, you know, they were in Goff's face basically all day. And it's crazy because we had seen earlier in the day that the Rams offensive line was named offensive line of the year. And they go and put up this kind of performance. I mean, you saw a false start penalty. You know, I I remember at least the one false start penalty on Rob Havenstein. Well, this wasn't necessarily the offensive line, but Jared Goff, I think, forgot that. I think there was that one play where Jared Goff seemed to forget the snap count. I mean, it was just really strange for the Rams, but the way the Patriots just got pressure on Goff all day and, you know, stopped the run game. And that was obviously another big story, too, is why didn't we see more of Todd Gurley? Why did he only end up with 10 carries in the Super Bowl? Was there some kind of injury with Todd Gurley that we did not know about? Because there were plenty of drives where he wasn't even on the field. It's just kind of baffling to me to think, you know, what the game plan was or what's going on with Todd Gurley. But, you know, not that C.J. Anderson ran bad, but Todd Gurley's your star player. He's your, you know, former first-round investment. Why was he not on the field more? But nonetheless, the Patriots did a fantastic job stopping the run, a fantastic job obviously shutting down the pass as well, because, I mean, that was just a horrendous effort from Jared Goff. And there's two big plays. The big one that we know of, I'll get to in a minute, but the first one I want to talk about is that near touchdown that he threw to Brandon Cooks that was batted away by, I believe that was Jason McCourty. I forget which twin it was, but I think it was one of the McCourty twins. I think it might have been Jason. But one of them, you know, knocked the ball away at the last second, making a nice play. But, oh, if Goff would have got rid of that ball just a second sooner, I think he hits Cooks, and the Rams take the lead, and this is probably a completely different game. And then, of course, the big play that we're going to – probably the bigger play that we're going to talk about, or maybe the biggest play, is that interception by Stephon Gilmore stepping – I believe that was intended for Cooks as well – stepping in front of him, picking off the pass, and really that killed any hope that the Rams had of winning the game, because it seemed, you know, they were driving, there was only a few minutes left, they had a chance to take the lead, and Gilmore basically shuts the door. And I don't, oh no, that's right, the Rams did get the ball back, because then the Patriots kicked that field goal to make it 13-3, but the Rams basically just didn't have enough time to really do anything. And how fitting was it that they come out to at least attempt a field goal to make it a 7-point game and give themselves a shot at the onside kick, and Zuerlein misses it? You know, what a fitting end to this Super Bowl. And it's crazy to think, you know, we saw at the beginning of the game where they posted the graphic that kickers were 31 of 31 on field goal attempts in Mercedes-Benz Stadium this season. And wouldn't you know, Stephen Gostkowski, of course, misses the first field goal attempt of the Super Bowl. But again, just a huge credit to what the Patriots did. And obviously, I got to give a shout out here. You got to listen to Mark Schofield. Obviously, I've said many times, a huge buddy of mine, one of my best friends. I'll fly out and say he's one of my best friends among like football Twitter and things like that. You know, really hoping I can make it down to Indy for the combine. And, you know, if I do, hopefully we can meet up. But you've got to listen to him. He obviously does a great breakdown of the game. He rambles for about 40 minutes. You know, I certainly won't ramble for 40 minutes. That's not really this podcast. I just wanted to give my thoughts for a few minutes. But if you want to hear a good breakdown of the game, go check out Mark on Locked On Patriots. He'll break it down for you step by step. But last thing I want to say, let's be honest. If there was any debate before this game, the debates are gone. Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. I don't know how you can not question it. Yeah, this wasn't Brady's greatest game, but the fact of the matter is, Tom Brady now has 6 Super Bowls. Nobody else Does. The only Charles Haley had five Super Bowls along with Brady, but now Brady stands alone with six. Debate's over. And listen, Ed Reed, they said his Hall of Fame discussion lasted about 6 minutes. Or I'm sorry, not 6 minutes, about 2 minutes. Ed Reed's, if they talked for 6 minutes on Ed Reed, then I don't know what they're doing, but they even 2 minutes feels like it's pretty long. It's like Ed Reed, okay, he got this, he's in. We figured Ed Reed was a lock. Tom Brady's gonna last about 2 seconds. Like, okay, up for nomination, Tom Brady. In. Everybody raises their hand. In. Okay, move on. let's be honest. Tom Brady's discussion is gonna be longer. The pass he. In fact, I'm seeing the highlights on NFL Network as I'm talking right now. As it'll probably take longer for Brady to throw that touchdown pass or the near touchdown pass to Rob Gronkowski than it will for the voters to debate his Hall of Fame merits. And one last thing, obviously there's so much you can talk about with this game between the game and all the other things. I will say this, I was not a huge fan of the halftime show. I mean, it's not like Maroon 5 was terrible, but I just couldn't really get into it. Travis Scott, I'm sorry, didn't really do it for me. But when Big Boi came out, it was cool to see them sing, I Like the Way You Move, even though obviously it wasn't full Outkast. But I'll tell you what, the NFL 100 ad. That was nice. That was really, really cool. I love that ad. That was awesome. And I'll watch that. I'll certainly watch that many times. But that was awesome. Commercials really didn't do it for me either, to be quite honest. I did like the M&M's one with Christina Applegate with the new for the new M&M's chocolate bar. But overall, the commercials. It just didn't really do it for me. And that one with the chunky milk, no, that was a total turn off. That might have been the worst commercial. That was just flat out dumb. It's like you're just watching people drinking chunky milk. It's like, what are we watching? Like, ugh. Like, I'm sorry, that just didn't do it for me. But that's about it. That puts a wrap. It's crazy to think that this puts a wrap on the 2018 season, and it is now full speed ahead to 2019. Obviously the league year doesn't officially begin until March when free agency begins, but for all intents and purposes, the 2019 season begins today. The waiver system is back on, and then hey, we got the combine in a few weeks. The ability to use the franchise tag and the transition tag is coming up. So, all of a sudden it's now back to talking everybody, talking all the teams and talking full-fledged Panthers. Playoffs are over, and now the Panthers are ready to hit the road and hopefully get back to the playoffs. Obviously, we've touched on their 2019 opponents. On paper, kind of as where they stand now, we know it's a pretty good schedule. We know that they will see the NFC champion Rams, but they will host them. Again, a lot of their tough games are at home. The Rams go to Carolina, Seattle goes to Carolina, but they go to Arizona and San Francisco, which means they could obviously get see guys like maybe Nick Bosa or someone like Quinnen Williams, depending on what they do in the draft. And then we know they're headed to Lambeau to take on the Packers. It'll be really interesting to see what the Packers look like. And, I always say I enjoy the crossover episodes that we do during the season. That's going to be one I'm looking forward to because, I'm a big fan of Peter's work and what he does with the Packers and across the NFL. So he's definitely one guy I'll be excited to get to chat with. And then, Brad, who obviously did a fantastic job all season covering the Rams Super Bowl run. And then you've got the Redskins on the road, which they'll be an interesting team to follow in the offseason because, you got the quarterback situation. What we saw the report from Ian Rapoport of how the Redskins are more or less expecting Alex Smith to not play in 2019 because of that broken leg. So what do the Redskins do at the quarterback position? Because as we saw, once Alex Smith went down, so did the Redskins' season. I mean, this team was looking like they would at least contend for a wild card spot, if not the division. Once Alex Smith went down, their season just torpedoed. None of the quarterbacks, whether it was Colt McCoy, who then got hurt, or Mark Sanchez, who got hurt, or even Josh Johnson, who hadn't played an NFL game in 7 years, none of them could salvage the sinking ship that was the Washington Redskins. And then, of course, on the AFC side, you're looking at the AFC South, which of course produced two playoff teams in 2018 and a near playoff team in the Titans. The Texans are going to be, are obviously going to be a team to watch and on the rise the way their season was. They just kind of have to shore up their offensive line. But if they do, they'll definitely be a team to watch. The Colts might be a lot of people's sleeper picks to win the AFC next season. I mean, look how quickly they rose. Andrew Luck was comeback player of the year, got to the playoffs, won a playoff game in Houston before bowing down to the Chiefs. And let's remember, they have a ton of cap space, about 120 million, plus three picks, three of the first, what, 50 some odd picks, including two of the top 34, because they've actually got the second pick of the second round in the draft. Because remember, they have the Jets pick, thanks to the trade last year, which helped the Jets get Sam Darnold. So obviously, they're going to be a big time team. And then the Jaguars. The Jaguars are going to be interesting to watch because what do they do at the quarterback position? There's people connecting dots that they make a run at Nick Foles. And we know, and I think we can say that if the Jaguars can get some kind of stability at the quarterback position, they should get back near the level that they were 2 seasons ago when they got to the AFC Championship because that defense is still intact. You still have good players on offense. Really, it was Blake Bortles that kind of held the team back. So again, looking at the 2019 opponents for the Panthers, there's some intriguing opponents. Obviously, free agency in the draft is gonna really change how we look at some of these teams, but and then obviously the division is gonna be tough as well. You're obviously looking at the Saints, who could be entering a farewell tour of sorts for Drew Brees. I mean, this very 2019 could very well be the last that we see Drew Brees in the NFL. You figure they'll have a good bit of their team back, so that'll obviously be a tough contender. We expect the Falcons to get back to where they were after all those injuries. Buccaneers are going to be interesting now with Bruce Arians at the helm. We'll see what Bruce Arians can do for Jameis Winston. So the NFC South once again should be a dogfight all season long. So really, really looking forward to a fun 2019 as all these seasons usually are, but 2019 definitely feels like a very interesting year for the Panthers. Almost a make or break season. We know the status of Cam Newton is very up in the air, and you have to wonder if this is kind of a make or break year for Ron Rivera, especially with the fact that so many a bunch of assistant coaches were let go. Ron Rivera basically now taking control of this defense. So it'll be interesting. It'll be a fun off season. So I think now we'll jump back in and just kind of touch a little bit too on where the Panthers stand at the wide receiver position and the wide receiver and the tight end position going into 2019. 19. So, again, get our numbers from SpotRack and Over the Cap, kind of a mix of the two. So we'll start at the wide receiver position. And right now, the biggest cap hit going into 2019 is Torrey Smith at just $5 million because, you know, again, you figure Devin Funchess is a free agent. So Torrey Smith at just $5 million, and that, and I don't believe that is guaranteed. I believe all of Torrey Smith's money, because remember, this was the contract they inherited from the Philadelphia Eagles last season when they made that trade for Daryl Worley. So, yeah, the Eagles had already given the Panther, or had already given Torrey Smith that money. So, you know, not saying the Panthers are going to get rid of Torrey Smith, but if they choose to, they would save $5 million because it's a straight $5 million base salary that Torrey Smith is owed in 2019. But again, none of it is guaranteed. Then you look at DJ Moore, about $2.5 million. Obviously, he's not going anywhere. Productive rookie season, improved as he went along. I think we'll just continue to get better. You saw, and we've said many times during the season, you saw the playmaking abilities flash at various points of the season. Year two now is going to be about becoming more consistent and continuing to develop and turning those flashes of big-time plays into a more, what kind of word I want to use. I guess a more consistent streak of big plays. You know, if you kind of catch my drift there. But, you know, just continuing to step up really is the key for DJ Moore. And I fully expect him to do that. You know, I've said how much of a fan I am. So I'll be excited to see him in his second season. Jairus Wright then is next. Set to count about just under $2.5 million in 2019. He's got a base salary of $1.5 million plus a signing bonus of $666,666, and then his workout bonus of $100,000, and also an extra $200,000, which comes from, as I load up Jairus Wright's numbers, an incentive bonus. Yeah, so I guess he hit an incentive bonus to give him an extra $200,000. He has 2 years left on his deal because he's also got 2020, where he's due a salary of $1.9 million plus, you know, the signing bonus. Also a $1 million roster bonus in 2020, and a workout bonus of $100,000. So he'd be set to count about $3.6 million in 2020, but if they cut him, it would save about $3 million. But Jairus Wright is someone that I think they'll likely keep. Like I've said in the past, I think he was probably one of the more underrated free agent signings of 2018. You know, he didn't have a ton of catches, but a lot of his catches were chain movers. You know, a lot of big catches on third down to convert for first down. And, you know, whether it's Cam Newton coming from injury or if it's, say, a young quarterback like Kyle Allen, those kind of receivers are very valuable. Then you have Curtis Samuel, who's set to count about $1.7 million next season, base salary of just over $1 million, and a signing bonus of, plus his prorated signing bonus of about $700,000. Like DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel is someone that steadily improved as the season wore on. You know, he battled those injuries during his rookie season, battled injuries during training camp. But as the season wore on, you saw him overcome those injuries and saw him really get more comfortable in this offense and really finding his role in this offense, and I think that role will probably grow a little bit. You know, he's not going to be a focal point of this offense, but you know, kind of what you saw in the second half of this season is, you know, maybe add a little bit more. It's probably what you can expect to see from Curtis Samuel. So he's a guy that I'm excited as well in year three. And then a couple other, you know, practice squad guys like DeAndre White and Moss Frazier also listed. Again, Devin Funchess, free agent. And if you look on SpotRack, because they sometimes will do their calculated market values, you know, kind of an estimate of what Funchess's market value could be in the free agent market, they're valuing him at about $9 million. Obviously, I don't expect the Panthers to re-sign Devin Funchess. As I've said before, you look at Funchess's status as the season wore on, especially toward the end of the season, where his snap count slowly reduced, and then he ended up not playing at all, was inactive in Week 17 against the Saints. So I don't think Funchess is in the future plans for the Panthers. In regards to you know, free agency and the draft, I know there's been some buzz, something maybe wide receiver is a top need for the Panthers. I've seen some mock drafts where they've taken a wide receiver in round one. While I wouldn't necessarily hate the fact if they took a wide receiver in round one, I don't necessarily think they need to take a wide receiver in round one. I think wide receiver is pretty deep enough and pretty talented enough that if you want to take one, you can probably get one in round two or maybe even round three. You know, round two, maybe someone like Deebo Samuel, if he's there. You know, I've done some mock drafts where I've been able to get Samuel in round three, but don't think he's going to last that long anymore, especially with the week he had in Mobile. So I think if you're the Panthers and you want a guy like Samuel, you're probably going to have to snag him in round two. That if he's even there in round two as well, you know, you wonder if he's going to sneak into round one. But, you know, Samuel in round two is someone I, you know, would not have a problem with. You know, I've seen some people consider like DK Metcalf or Kelvin Harmon with that 16th pick. Like I said, I wouldn't fully be opposed to it because I like both those players. But if you feel you have bigger needs somewhere else, and, you know, depending on your board, maybe you go a different position in free agency or in with that 16th pick, rather. You know, looking at the top of the list of free agents, at least in terms of their contract value from last season, the way SpotRack has it, Randall Cobb, who is probably done in Green Bay. Don't expect him to re-sign there. You got guys like Dante Moncrief, Tavon Austin, Golden Tate, Ryan Grant, John Brown, Jermaine Kearse, Cordell Patterson, who's kind of reinvigorated himself with the Patriots, Kevin White, who seemingly can't stay healthy. I mean, he probably had his healthiest season this year, but still, he has that history. Mike Wallace, if he doesn't return to the Eagles, Chris Hogan to the Patriots, Cole Beasley, because it sounds like, you know, I don't know. There's a little bit of drama there. Who knows what's happening with Cole Beasley and the Cowboys. Adam Humphries with the Bucks, Tyrell Williams of the Chargers is an interesting name. You know, Philip Dorsett, TJ Jones, Andre Holmes. Obviously, there's a big list, so we'll see if the Panthers dip into the free agent pool. You know, are they going to go after someone like Randall Cobb? Probably not. You know, but someone like Tyrell Williams could be, or Adam Humphries could be intriguing options for a fairly valuable contract. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there with the wide receiver position. And then real quick, because I'm starting to ramble a little bit, obviously, but if we look at the tight end position, Greg Olsen set to count $7.1 million in 2019. You know, there's obviously, the concern with the injuries and things like that, but you're likely not moving on from Greg Olsen because they actually would not save any money by cutting him, at least pre-June 1st, because they would actually lose about $700,000. But if, say, they were to make a move and cut him after June 1st, they would save about $3 million in cap space this season, because then, of course, the cap hit would be split between this year and next year. So it'll be interesting what they do with Greg Olsen. Ian Thomas obviously had his moments toward the end of last season and should continue to develop this season. And then they just re-signed Chris Manhertz to a two-year deal. So it looks like Manhertz is locked in. And then he had Jason Vanderland on the practice squad. So don't expect them to do too much at the tight end position. You know, maybe they grab one late. Maybe they look at someone like Foster Moreau or the tall tree, as it were, Darnold Parham out of Stetson. But tight end definitely is a position that I don't think they're going to get too crazy with. Like I said, they might sprinkle a bit, but that's really about it. So with that, I think we'll wrap things up here. I think it was a good first show of the 2019 offseason. I still can't believe I'm saying that. You know, the 2018 season is over. You know, Super Bowl 53 is in the books, and now we are on the road to Miami. We're getting ready to begin the road to South Beach, as that, of course, is where Super Bowl 54 will take place on February 2nd, 2020. And hey, it'll be here before you know it. It feels like just yesterday we were watching the Eagles beat the Patriots to win Super Bowl 52, and now here we are a year later and Super Bowl 53 is in the book. So, and especially with the celebration that they're doing with NFL 100, it's going to fly. Obviously, the offseason's going to drag a little bit, but we'll do our best to, you know, keep some content going and get through this offseason together. But as always, like I said, really appreciate all the support you guys give throughout the season. Glad to be on this trip with you guys, and hopefully it's going to be a fun off season with the combine and free agency coming and then the draft. So we'll be all right. We'll make it through this off season. But that'll do it for today. Again, follow me on Twitter at @Bill_Ricetti. That's @RicceTTE. Follow the podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, however you listen. And remember, if you have a smart speaker, you can listen that way as well, because you can just tell your smart speaker to play podcast and then whatever podcast you want to listen to. But that's it for me. I'm out of here. Thanks for listening. Have a good one, and we will see you next time right here on LOP. Until then, take care, my friends.